Welcome to The Ambitious Introvert, the leading growth and development podcast for the estimated 56% of us who recharge by going inwards. Our purpose is to help you manage your social battery and own your energy so you can reach your true potential in your business, your career, or your life. I'm your host, Emma Louise Parks, a former air traffic controller, entrepreneur, and a success coach with over 15 years' experience. I've supported hundreds of introverts like you who dream big and are ready to take action towards making those dreams a reality without compromising their energy in the process. Each week, my guests and I will be sharing tips, tricks, and hacks on how to build your resilience, master your mindset, and cultivate self-leadership. Skills that will help you reach your goals without trying to be someone that you're not. We'll also be sharing valuable lessons and insights from our own personal experiences, all focused on one thing: helping you own your energy to reach your potential. Hello, welcome back to the Ambitious Introvert podcast. I'm Emma Louise, and today's guest is someone that I am lucky enough to call a friend in real life, as in we've actually met in real life, which I love is becoming more and more common now from internet friends now that the closed down days of COVID are over. So I'm really excited to share this interview with the amazing Lucy Badoui. Lucy is a copywriter and the founder of My Right Hand Woman, a company that she founded right after graduating from her marketing degree, and a company which pays for her nomadic lifestyle. Now, I'm not going to go into it too much here because Lucy shares it also beautifully, but I wanted to talk about this concept of being a digital nomad or being a remote worker, because the world has changed so much since COVID, and work and business has changed so much that these opportunities are there and we don't always think that they are there for us or they're the right thing for us. Or we see other people doing it and think, oh, it's okay for them, but I couldn't do that because. And actually, more and more people are finding that with hybrid working or with being able to, you know, communicate effectively with their manager or their team about why this would be so great for them, this is becoming such a thing. Like, the percentage of people doing this is climbing all of the time. And it was really fascinating when I got to meet Lucy in person and we had dinner and she was sharing all of these great nuggets about, you know, nomad lifestyle and the different types of people that she meets and what that looks like and how really how customizable and bespoke it is. So even though Lucy is an extrovert, and that's pretty clear from as soon as I met her, I knew that so much of what she could share and her experience over the last 3 years would be relevant to any introverts that were thinking, maybe I'd like to travel, or maybe I would like to explore what being remote could look like in my job. Or if you're a business owner, hey, maybe I'm ready to do this whole nomad thing. So I hope you enjoy listening to Lucy as much as I enjoyed chatting to her about it. And hopefully, if you are someone that loves travel as much as Lucy and I do, there might be something here that sparks your interest and gets your brain ticking about what could be possible for you. Okay, Lucy, before we dive into this, we're just going to confront the elephant in the room. You are not an introvert.
I'm not. I know it's very fake for this podcast.
Do you have any introverted tendencies whatsoever?
Okay, absolutely. I love to journal. And my journaling sessions are really hardcore. Like, I pull out probably 50 pounds of stickers, and the stickers that don't actually stick, like the stickers that you have to cut out and press on like a temporary tattoo, like I get really into it. And then I'll be journaling for like 2 hours at a time. I think that's about as introverted as I get.
That's very introverted. Because I remember when we first met and you said, oh, I only need about 15 minutes a week where I'm not around people.
Totally. And that still holds. I will say, if it's a heavy week, like if I'm doing like 3 meals out, like 5 social events in a week, like one of those, I might need like a half hour. But journaling is definitely like just my, you know, my retreat, especially if people aren't doing things and, you know, I have to keep myself company. It's one of those hobbies that I just love doing.
Oh, I love that, because I have so many close extroverted friends. And I would say sometimes that's the piece that's hardest for them is the, you know, the introspection and the self-reflection and being on their own and not feeling kind of lost by it.
Yeah, I think I totally see that because there's definitely moments where I don't want to be journaling, even though it's something that I love and it's something that I want to do. When I'm feeling in the extrovert mood or I've spent too much time alone, I will just torment the co-working space and get everyone off track in their work and be like, who wants to get ice cream? And people will be like, it's 9 a.m. So it definitely depends on the week, depends on the mood. But that is my most introverted thing. And I actually really love reflection and introspection, especially when it comes to expanding and manifestation and all of those fun things that you can do that are really hard to do when people are, you know, having really loud conversations in your vicinity.
You know, there's, I think you're into human design. I think we chatted a little bit about this. I feel like you're a generator.
I'm a Manny-Gen.
You're a Manny-Gen. That kind of makes more sense. I'm a generator. But there's one of the human design readers that I follow, and she talks about time alone as being pure aura time. And it's literally no one is contaminating your aura. And depending on your design and how many open centers you have, you might need more of that or less of it, right? So it's like you say, it's this concept of when you are being introspective or like you're big into manifesting or you're writing down vision stuff. I do think having that like protection around your aura. So it's like, okay, I know what I'm, this energy is coming from me and everything that I'm writing here is mine and I'm not being influenced by, you know, so-and-so in the corner over there talking loudly.
I love that it's described that way. I've never thought of it that way, but it's so true. I mean, that's the same reason why when I wake up in the morning, I used to have a really bad like scrolling habit where I would immediately launch into work, check my inbox, and then get like an all screaming caps email. And I'm like, why did I check my inbox? So I really relate to that because I think like spending time in our own energy, especially before we like throw ourselves into the world for the day, is invaluable.
So when we first met, to give the backstory to people, you work alongside Jordan. Jordan's obviously one of my close friends. She's been on the podcast. And Jordan came over to go to Wimbledon with me, as you do. She came all the way over from Missouri to like spend an afternoon at Wimbledon because she loves me and tennis that much. And we had this idea of you doing this dinner where we could get some people together that were in the locality. And then she was like, oh, Lucy from my team's going to come. And I said, oh, does she live in London? And she went, no, she doesn't live anywhere.
she selectively doesn't have a home.
She doesn't live anywhere. And I was like, what do you mean she doesn't live anywhere? And she said, oh, she's a digital nomad. Now, obviously, this is something that I'm pretty familiar with. I've been in the online space for like 5 years. I know it's a thing, but I hadn't actually met anyone. Like the... For me, digital nomads were all these coaches that were on the beach in Bali and they're all living in Bali and living their best lives and wearing bikinis and drinking a cocktail and going, oh, I've made $1 million. And then I was like, oh, she's a digital nomad, but like she's in London. this doesn't kind of compute. Jun's like, yeah, she just goes everywhere. So I really want to talk about this because I think, especially after COVID, with hybrid working and, you know, so many companies offering remote working as well as people obviously starting their own businesses. This is such a thing. Like it's such a thing. There are actual like hotels that cater just to digital nomads and everything. So I'm really excited for you to fill us in all about it. What made you start? At what point did you go, do you know what? I'm just going to travel forever.
Absolutely. I think like it started actually in college. I did like a record like 5 or 6 study abroads. I barely spent time at the University of Maryland. And I am so thankful for all of those experiences and that I was able to do that. But then I also just got super sad approaching senior year because travel is so important to me. And then looking at like the job market, I mean, I graduated in 2020. So obviously pre-COVID or on par with COVID rather. So when I was thinking about the fact that I would only have 2 weeks of PTO every single year to travel for the rest of my life until I turned 65, it just didn't sit well with me. I just thought like, I want to explore the world. Like my dream is to travel. And at that time, I didn't really have my eye on a remote job. I mean, at that point, all companies were going remote. But the only path forward I really saw is like, okay, I need to start my own business. Like, this is how we're going to do it. So I was a fashion stylist at the time. I'd started my own styling business and I loved it. But when I tried to pull that online, I was like this 19-year-old running this fashion styling business. It just didn't feel as good because I loved going to the mall with my clients. And I was like, okay, this is not the vibe. So I moved into social media management, quickly realized I designed like a 3-year-old and was like, okay, we need to abandon this plan. And then that's when I was like, wait, I've been a writer for like the past 10 years. Like writing is my thing. I have my degree in marketing. I'm going to start a copywriting business. And then that also just seemed like the quickest path forward to travel. And I never dreamed that it would make it so easy for me to travel and also just scale and turn into what it has turned into today while giving me that freedom and flexibility.
I love it. I feel like so many people, you know, a lot of permission given here, have a couple of false starts in a business. I think it's so easy to look at someone successful and be like, oh, they just like started that and it was profitable from day one and it's easy for them. But actually, you speak to most people and they've had 2 or 3 iterations and tried something and gone, yeah, I really suck at that. Actually, why don't I just lean into this thing that I'm actually good at?
I think that was me with like social media, especially, and I'm sure people listening can relate. Like, you're told that you're good at something by people and their intentions are so pure. They want you to succeed and they say, oh, well, you've always loved doing this. Like, why don't you go into this? But when you're thinking about your career, your biggest asset is your differentiation. And if something is saturated or there's something that you love, but like, you know, you're being real with yourself and you're not great at it, that is never going to be nearly as impactful as doing something that you love, but you're also like one of the best people at it. So I always say, like, when you're making that Venn diagram, make sure when you are pursuing a non-traditional path, you're leaning into something where you're thinking, okay, I have leverage here because I'm so good at this. And also that, like, anyone who's in a corporate job, when you're in a role and you're irreplaceable and you are just like that person that they're like, wow, we can't believe this person's on our team, you have way more power to go ask the person who is going to grant that permission for you to be fully remote if that's something that you choose and you want that freedom to travel and be in Asia. You know, if you're amazing at your job, they're going to be like, yeah, like go work from Thailand. As long as you do your work, like we adore you.
That is so true. And for introverts, especially, I think, in that corporate world where working from home or having like a 4-day work week may be so much better for them managing their energy in the long term, but they don't necessarily feel like they've got the confidence to ask or they don't deserve it or whatever. It's so true, like you say, that leaning into the differentiator, and it's so easy for us to try and be the same as everyone else or like, oh, so-and-so who's in the job above you or like 2 roles above you that you would want one day, but is an extrovert. Oh, well, I'll try and do what they do. It's totally not going to work for introverts. Leaning into, like you say, those strengths and that thing that makes you different is the reason that they'll go, yeah, well, we don't want to lose you because there's no one else like you.
Exactly.
So where was the first place that you nomaded to? Where did you head off to?
This is actually a really fun one, because I met a woman in a Facebook group, in like a female entrepreneur Facebook group, and we just hit it off. We exchanged some messages. We got on a FaceTime and she messages me and she's like, hey, so me and a couple friends, we're about to get vaccinated for COVID. And like after vaccines, we're going to get a villa in Crete. Do you want to come meet us there? And I thought I was just going on vacation in Crete. And so I told my parents, I was like, hey, so I'm going to go to Crete and meet a girl that I met on the internet. And they were so supportive. They were like, okay, like have fun. And that was the last time I lived in DC. After Crete, I ended up traveling with the girl that I met for the next 3 months. We traveled through Italy and Bulgaria and we stayed at an Airbnb together and we just got super close. I went to her wedding last year that was in France. And she's actually with me in Sri Lanka right now, and we're going to Dubai in a matter of 3 days. So I think that really goes to show that there's a big misconception in the nomad world where if you're going to be a nomad, all of your friendships and relationships are going to be transient, but you actually have these really deep, rich friendships. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of us can't say like, oh, I live with my best friend like 2 to 3 months out of the year. So friendships look different and community looks different, but it's so strong and it's so special, even though it is something that we're not really used to.
I love that you just never went home. It's like, I've gone on vacation and that's it, I'm done.
My poor parents. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, amazing. So you knew you wanted to travel. You knew that travel was a big part of your life, but you hadn't gone, right, let me map out like the next 5 years and what does this look like and what am I going to do after Crete? You literally just rolled with it.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, I think I have up until like February 2024 planned, but I love keeping space in my calendar because you never know who's going to ask you to do something cool or who's going to want to, you know, get an Airbnb in a place you've never been for 2 months. So it's nice to not have everything like perfectly mapped out. But at the same time, you know, I don't like to be like, where am I sleeping tomorrow? So it's always like finding the happy medium.
Well, that was one of the things when we met up for dinner, when Jordan had said to me, you know, oh, yeah, Lucy's going to come along. She does some work for me, blah, blah, blah. And I said, where does she live? And she doesn't live anywhere. She's a nomad. And I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, did she just happen to be in London? And she was like, yeah, she was in London anyway, but she just extended a few days because I was coming. And I was like, that's so cool that you have the flexibility to do that.
Absolutely. I think like that's the fun of it. I don't think I've ever met a nomad who loves predictability and routine. Obviously, there's a huge spectrum of people who travel. Some people like it more than others, but I think that's the magic is, you know, when my friends are saying something like, hey, we have PTO, we're going to go to Italy. I can say something like, oh, I'm in Germany. Like, let me just pop over for the weekend and see you guys. So it really creates so much fun and novelty and spontaneity. And I think that's what a lot of us really crave, especially if our job is quite stable or we feel like we want to shake up. Like shaking up your environment is one of the easiest ways to just get new perspectives, have more creative inspiration, and just see how it's like living in a new place, even if it's only for like a month or two.
So I do want to come back to this concept of how you balance the travel with actually doing the work for your business and everything else. But before that, just give us a brief lowdown. Where are some of the places that you spent time in the last 3 years?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I was just creating a reel today that was like recapping my 2023 travel. And I lived in 21 places just this year, which
wow.
Reading that number, I was like, wow, I have so many miles. But so some of the places I've been to that have been really notable is I always love going back to Italy. That seems to be like such an anchor. My aunt lives in Scotland, so I'll head to Scotland pretty often. So kind of outside of Europe, I've been to Argentina, Belize, Korea, Sri Lanka. I want to explore more of the Arab world. So yeah, I'm heading over to Dubai. I've also been to Morocco. So that's just a little like smattering, but I definitely run around the world. I've never been that person who wants to just take like road trips. I really love going far and just exploring all corners of the earth.
Amazing. So obviously you don't have a set week as such. Like you say, you don't necessarily have that predictability, but you have a great business. You have obviously clients that you write for on a regular basis. How do you divvy it up? How do you kind of structure it without it feeling like A, that the work is impacting on your travel, or B, that the travel is kind of distracting you from doing your work?
Totally. I think this is the biggest mindset shift you have to get over whenever you're going to work remotely or be a digital nomad is you're not on vacation. This is just your life. And I know that sounds crazy because you see these people like on the beach in a bikini at 3 p.m. and you're like, get out of here. Like you are on vacation, but it's true. I mean, like with anything, I can't eat like I'm on vacation. I can't not work out like I'm on vacation. I can't put off my work, you know, like this is my life. So it comes down to just realizing like maybe the day in terms of the travel is I go to a nearby cafe for lunch and I try a new local food. And then the rest of the day is spent working. You know, you're not going to be able to do the same level of sightseeing that someone would do if they're there for a week. And that's often why digital nomads will stay in a place for 1 to 2 months, because it might take us 1 to 2 months to see what someone might see on a 4-day vacation, because we are moving so slow, because we are going to cafes. We're still working an 8-hour day. So it's that is the biggest mindset shift that helps with balance. You know, you got to find the yoga studio, even if the yoga is in Bulgarian, like you got to move your body. You need to kind of almost live like a normal person in this very foreign environment.
And from the people that you have connected with, I know that you've done co-lives and different things like that. The people that are employed rather than in their own business, how does it work for them? Is it a similar kind of thing that they're like, okay, during, you know, these hours I'm at work and then I just have to treat this like life?
So yeah, a lot of my friends that have like truly remote jobs, they have set hours. So I feel really fortunate that, you know, I can kind of manipulate my hours. So I'm not taking a call at 3 a.m. But, you know, if they're working Pacific time hours and we are in Korea, like work has to get done. And it's so much discipline to stay productive because sometimes, you know, we'll go out for dinner and then we'll go out for a drink and then they have to come home and they're starting their work day. So it's just a whole new level of teaching yourself. Like, if I'm going to do this lifestyle, I'm going to commit to these crazy hours.
When I just left school. So it's like 17, maybe just gone 18. And I went to work in Portugal for like a summer season. And I went to like a touristy resort and just picked up like bar work and different things like that. Yeah, it was so fun back in the day, back in the 90s. And that was the hardest thing because you feel like you're on holiday at first. And, you know, for a few days, I was like, oh, this is great. Look, it's hot and the beer's cheap and all of these things. But then you get a job and it's like, oh, I have to just pay rent and I can't eat in a restaurant every night. I have to start cooking because I'm not on vacation money and all of these things. And I think it's really interesting because people go, wow, it must be so amazing. It's like, well, it is, but it does also become normal. But that's just in one place. I guess you have the variety of moving around.
Absolutely. And some places lend itself, like me being on the beach in Sri Lanka, I definitely feel like one of those Bali coaches making millions and sitting on the sands right here. Like literally my window opens to the beach and I'm like, okay, I'm like living my Instagram life. But there's other places, like when I was in London, I was staying in like an apartment with people who worked in like the financial sector. And, you know, we would sometimes play board games at night, but it really felt so normal. Like I had my apartment building. I was in Canary Wharf. I had like a co-working membership. I'd wake up every day, get a cup of coffee, go to work. And that honestly just felt like very normal US life, except everyone was from the UK. So it's like that feels like very kind of normal versus like the more non-traditional, okay, you're in like a very foreign place. Like my friends, they were just in Kenya and they said, okay, we had about like 2 hours of Wi-Fi a day. And I'm like, I think I would actually panic. So it's very different depending on the place. But, you know, the idea is you do find your routine and your routine looks different in every place, but it's always special and it's always fun because it's something that you get to intentionally create every time you move.
I think that's a point that a lot of people would maybe panic about the Wi-Fi. And I will just add an anecdote here that Lucy and I got on a call the other week and she's in Sri Lanka and I'm here in the UK and it was my Wi-Fi. That was the problem. It's like, what is going on here? Because I've had no end of Wi-Fi issues this year. But especially if you, well, not especially, whether you're running a business or whether you're a remote worker, the Wi-Fi and the infrastructure, that's a key piece, surely, in knowing that you can go somewhere and it's all going to be okay.
And it's so hard. Like if there's an outage, there's an outage. Like there's nothing you can do except just like sit in the dark and be like, I'm missing my meeting right now. And this is going to be a really awkward conversation in about 90 minutes. So it's like, it's life. You know, if you are, for example, if you're a mom and like someone in your family gets sick and you have an emergency and you have to cancel a meeting, you know, you embrace it the same way. You're just like, I'm really sorry. Like there was a flood. And people will obviously, you know, if they're kind and empathetic, it's not a big deal as long as it doesn't happen often. But with that being said, I have like backup internet, like plans A through F. I have this incredibly expensive global eSIM that I always have in case of emergency. I also have like these bricks called MiFi devices. I have my normal data, international data from home. Sometimes I'll get a physical SIM. So I definitely double as like a part-time Wi-Fi engineer, whatever that job title would be.
I have this vision of you because we were talking about clothes when we went for dinner and you were saying like you've really streamlined your wardrobe down because I remember you had a blazer on and you were like, I've literally got a blazer for like days like this where it says like business casual. And I've got these visions of you carrying like more tech than clothes.
So many cords, I know. Yeah.
So there are things you can do. Like you say, there are ways around it. Like it's never going to be perfect. Just like, you know, my Wi-Fi isn't perfect here and I can't guarantee it's going to work, but it's not a reason not to do it. There are things that you can do and backups that you can have in place.
And also don't be afraid to take vacation. I think like, you know, people see, oh, you're traveling all the time. Like you're on constant vacation, but truthfully, you're working. Like you're entitled to your PTO as everyone else is. Like, for example, I'm going to be going to Antarctica in early 2024. And that is like fully off the grid. I'm not about to like write someone's website next to a penguin. So it's like, if you know you want to go to these cool places on Earth, but there's no way you're going to be able to work from them, like take a vacation. You deserve it just as much as anyone who stays in one place or stays in an office in a US city.
I think that's so important for any business owner anyway, especially for, I'm going to say, solopreneurs. And something that I always say to my business owning clients at the start of the year is, have you mapped out your time off? Put it in your calendar, because if you don't put it in there, you know, whether people are traveling or whether they're, you know, static at home, if you don't put it in there, things will get booked in. You will start planning a launch, or, you know, meetings will get booked or something else. And suddenly you'll get through half the year and you're like, I haven't taken any real time off.
Totally. I mean, I think that's something that everyone should do, regardless of if they're a nomad or not, is be really intentional about how much time you want to take off and get it in there.
So we talked about it being actually like real life. Yes, it's fun and you're in different places, but ultimately, like you say, you have to work out, you know, you have to work, you have to do these things. Now, your answer might be different to, you know, what some of the listeners will want to hear, because you're an extrovert. But how have you found making friends or having relationships or any of those things that I know people worry about? They're like, oh my God, well, if I move away, I'm going to be super lonely and not know anyone. Like, how have you approached that?
It's funny because I think a lot of people who live this lifestyle, we have this idea that they are extroverts, that they go up to random strangers in hostels and they're having these like wild, crazy, casual flings. And then, you know, they have stories for days. You know, I think that's the view of a traveler. But the actual day-to-day is there's so many introverts living this lifestyle. In fact, most of my friends are really introverted and they kind of love it, because when you are moving around or when you're traveling, you have so much freedom to choose what your next move is going to be. So let's say you lived in a co-liv with people that you got along with, you know, you really loved living with them. But after 6 weeks living with people, you're like, I need to go to an Airbnb in the middle of the Amazon rainforest and not speak to people for 2 weeks. If you have Wi-Fi, like, go do it. You know, you can literally shape whatever you need for your energy level and make plans based on your energy levels.
I went into railing around Europe for a month on my own when I was about 27. And I remember so much going, I don't want to stay in hostels because I can't bear the thought of like bunks and sharing and all this. But I didn't want to be in a hotel and be isolated and not meet people for a month. So I did the hostel thing, but I paid for private rooms. And I met great people in hostels. Like, I just met people randomly and we would like go for a drink or go for dinner and got to know them. And yeah, me as a huge introvert, obviously, I loved that I could then just retire to my room all on my own, but I still got to connect with really interesting people from all over the world.
Absolutely. And I think like when it comes to, even for me, I know this is something introverts talk about more, but like I really value those like deep, connected, multiple touch point friendships, as opposed to, well, we just laugh, have a drink, and then that's over. So I think, you know, once you're living this lifestyle, you will be immersed in other people who are living this lifestyle and you'll create those like deep friendships. So you can travel with one other person, whether that's platonically or romantically, whatever you're looking for. There's so many people who want what you want. And once you like kind of hit that abundance mindset about it, you realize I'm going to find my people the same way I found my people in grade school, the same way I found them in college, at work. It's just going to look different. And you have so much flexibility to shape the kinds of relationships that you want, because there's just not that same pressure that society puts on you, because the nomad community as a whole is just so fluid. You know, you can meet your soulmate best friend and then go travel with them for 6 months. You know, you can have that person that you're in a romantic relationship with, and maybe you spend 6 months out of the year together, 6 months long distance doing your own thing. Like, you set all of the rules for your lifestyle, which I know can be extremely attractive for people who want that kind of lifestyle architecture.
You set all of the rules for your lifestyle. I love that quote. We're using that. We're using that in the marketing. And a couple of things that I would say, like, as you're talking, you've mentioned a couple of times about manifestation and, you know, an abundance mindset and these more personal development terms that, obviously, as business owners, we tend to be in that space. I'm hoping that anyone listening to this podcast that is or isn't is into personal development, because that's what we're here for. But I would just love your take on how leaning into you being in your own power and knowing that you can create whatever you want, has that made it easier for you to make these big moves, like just, you know, going on vacation and never coming back?
Yeah, I think I always say I'm like a spiritual light, you know, I often will use the terms wrong, but I think when it comes to my own spirituality and the manifestation and the vision and peace, it just comes down to really tapping into my intuition. It's really easy in this lifestyle, I feel like, to have so much FOMO and be like, oh, I need to go to more countries, or I'm moving too slow, or I can't believe I just spent like a whole week all by myself in an Airbnb watching Netflix and I'm in this beautiful country. But you have to like look at things kind of holistically and be like, what do I want? What does my body need? And sometimes what your body needs is to pause the traveling or to really make a radical change that pulls you out of what your dream life was. So I would encourage anyone thinking about this lifestyle to just be really fluid about it and realize like you can always start it and you can always change your mind and it can evolve with you as you start to travel.
Now, one thing that I will say from knowing you, Lucy, is you have super strong boundaries.
I do.
And that's
super
strong. You do. And that, which is amazing, because it's a lot of the work that I do with clients. And it's one of the biggest energy leaks we have is either not defining our boundaries well, not communicating them to others, or doing those things, but then not upholding them. But you have amazingly strong boundaries, which is wonderful. So can you share a little bit about what that looks like? What are your absolute non-negotiables when it comes to protecting your time and your energy?
So one thing, it was actually interesting. My boundaries got a lot stronger in Korea, just because it was the first time I was that far away for most of my clients on Eastern time in the US. And with a literal 12-hour time difference, there was a good 2 hours when both of us were conscious and would actually want to take a meeting. So I had 2 hours a day to meet people. So immediately I was like, I got to cut the coffee chats. Like the people who slide into your DMs and they're like, love your content. Can I just ask you a couple of questions? You know, I used to feel so guilty saying no to these people because they were inspired by me and they just wanted to ask about like, you know, how I started as a copywriter, and I wanted to support them and I wanted to just give. But when I no longer had the time and I had to cut those coffee chats that were not mutually beneficial, I was able to get my time back. And that's a relatively like small example, but I just got so much more comfortable with saying no when clients were like, hey, can we talk about this over the phone? I'm like, I'm going to need you to send me a Loom, because I just wasn't going above and beyond as I used to. And actually, you know, it seems harsh, but everyone got better results because I was so intentional about my time that when I was on the phone with someone, I was like with them, so present. I was within my boundaries. I was at my peak creativity, and just everything got better from saying no.
Another great quote. Everything got better from saying no. And it is so true. And I think people do find it hard. And I was chatting to a client about this just this week, where, you know, she's creating an offer, but she's very mindful of her time and her energy. And it's like, how do we communicate the parameters? I don't want to say the rules, but how do we like communicate the parameters with the potential buyer to say, this is the deliverable and this is the process and this is what you get, so that it's super clear from the get-go? Because especially with something like, say, using Voxer, you know, there's that always that potential that it can spill over and you suddenly spend a lot of time on it where you didn't think you would do. And actually just getting clear on those boundaries from the start is key, but then upholding them when people push them, which they ultimately will.
I think also just a lot of people don't want to push your boundaries. And that was a really important lesson for me to learn, is that most people want to be an amazing client or an amazing coworker or a great friend. So when you communicate the boundary in a really kind and upfront way, like often for my business, I have a welcome packet that's like, okay, like, so glad you're here. Here's how this is going to go down. So it's like, if you let them be in the know upfront, they want to make you happy. You know, they want you to think about them favorably. So I think that's key. It's just owning it. I think sometimes when we're like, oh my gosh, everyone's crossing our boundaries, my first question is, well, do they know the boundary? And then it's easy to think that, well, yeah, I told them, but it's like, did you lay it out in almost like a kindergarten way that makes it easy for someone to digest?
One of my boundaries in my business is that I don't do client work at the weekend. So I don't check emails, I don't check Slack, and all of my clients know that. But they know that they can send me a message and I'll pick it up on Monday morning. But I have heard people being like, oh, like I don't work at the weekend, but people still send me messages and I have to reply. And I was like, well, could you not just check it on Monday morning? That's your boundary to enforce. And I think this works whether you're in a business or, you know, if you are employed as well, when you're looking at how do I, especially as an introvert, how do I own my energy and how do I make sure that I'm getting the time that I need and I'm not on 24/7, but to do it in a way that's like, hey, I just need this bit of a breather and then I will be at my best to give, you know, the rest of the time that I'm working.
Definitely. I think that's huge. You know, because the thing about boundaries also is if you set too many or you're too harsh about them, then you're no longer, you don't seem caring, you know? So it's like finding that balance of being like, this is my boundary. This is what I'm going to do. This is my behavior, but like you can do whatever you want. And like, of course I'm going to get back to you. Of course I'm going to message you at 9 a.m. It's not going to be midnight. But you know, it's taking your boundaries and owning them for yourself as opposed to trying to control other people's behaviors.
So I'm going to wrap up with the question that I ask all guests at the end. And I feel like we might have covered your answer already in this lovely conversation, but still, you might come up with something else. And you've given me two golden quotes so far. So, you know, maybe we're going for the hat trick. So what are the ways...
No pressure.
No pressure at all. It's a good job that you're good with words. But what is the main way that you make sure that you own your energy so that you can work to your highest potential?
Oh, yeah, this is good. I think when I think about owning my energy, I think about identifying where I am in my energetic battery. So I always know that I'm getting a little bit burnt out or a little bit peopled out, not usually of people, but of the wrong people or the people who are just a little too strong for what I need, like right now in the moment. When I start to get a little bit like irritable, when I want to lie down, like those are kind of like my body cues. So I think the first step to really owning your energy and the step that I really try to focus on is intuitively thinking to myself, how does this person make me feel? How is this interaction making me feel? Am I at the capacity today to take on this interaction? And if the answer is like no or rough or I want to get out of here and I feel that in my body, that is my cue to just, you know, I don't really need to justify it. If it's like, you know, just people are going out to lunch, I can be like, oh, well, I think I'm going to just like sit this one out. But obviously, if you do need to justify it, then figuring out how can I make this interaction better in the future or something like that. Because, you know, if you don't have that same flexibility to say no, then kind of finding workaround to make it match your energy levels.
Oh, I love that. And always, always, always leaning into what you need and trusting what the body says. I actually did an episode on intuition a few months ago. And I couldn't agree more. So thank you, Lucy. Thank you for sharing all of your amazing nomad wisdom with us. Obviously, I'm going to pop all of your links in the show notes. So whether you are wanting to connect with Lucy to follow her amazing travels, or whether you are wanting to connect with her to learn about her amazing copywriting, you'll be able to do that. And thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your time in Sri Lanka.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in and for making it all the way to the end of the interview. I hope that listening to Lucy, as I say, has sparked some ideas and possibilities about how you could incorporate travel or remote working into your career or business. Now, I love so much of what Lucy said. She had some amazing quotes that I feel like I need to pull out and make into graphics. One of the things that I really just want to reiterate is how she said that you can make this work however you want, whether you want to travel alone, whether you want to be around people. You get to set the rules for how you live your life, is pretty much what she said to that effect. And that is something key that I just wanted to pull out of this episode. You do not need to wait for someone to give you permission or to tell you what you can and can't do. we have so much more power than we think is possible. And it's so easy to forget, especially if we are in the same old rut and doing the same things that we've been doing for such a long time. You get to set the rules. You get to choose what it looks like. And I just think that is a great quote that I wanted to pull that out and leave you with that at the end of the episode. So thank you once again for tuning in, and I'll see you here next week on the Ambitious Introvert Podcast. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. I hope that you're feeling expanded to what's possible for you, motivated to take action, and inspired about how you can start to own your energy. I share even more tools and resources on my Introverts Only email newsletter. By signing up, you not only get early access to the Ambitious Introvert products and services, but you also get brand new podcast episodes delivered straight to your inbox every Monday, meaning you'll never miss your weekly dose of introvert-friendly inspiration. Sign up now at theambitiousintrovert.com/newsletter or click the link in the show notes. See you next week.